Episode 283, February 6th, 2017.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Analyze this for me, Joe Robinson. I'm walking into the mall, Columbia Mall. I'm walking through the parking lot into the little area before you get through the doors. And there's two guys in front of me. Two, I would say, probably your age, black guys. And they're talking to someone who's walking the other way that they know or something. So I don't think that they realize that I'm that close to them. So the guy opens the door to walk in, and then he notices that I'm right behind him. He goes, "Hey, Donald Trump."
Were you pissed?
No, he didn't say it in like a mean way. He said it in like, Donald Trump is now the go-to what you call a white man kind of a way.
I thought he thought you looked like Donald Trump.
Well, that's what I'm saying to analyze it. I can't look like Donald Trump. I mean, I got a hoodie on. I'm not like I'm dressed up. I mean, I look like me, right? So then I say, I don't have that kind of money. And we laughed and we went on with our way. But it wasn't like anything. There wasn't any anger behind it. But it was just like, is that now? Because remember the go-to? Maybe still be. But if you play basketball and you're white, you hit some threes, you're just called Larry Bird.
Right.
So is that the go-to white guy that you're just going to be referred to?
Well, I can't remember who the comic was. I know I told the story on this show when I walked into the green room one time and there was an act on before mine. It was like a DJ, some local DJ of some kind.
Huggy Lowdown.
Yeah. And I walked in, he goes, "Oh man, I thought the IRS was here." Now, meanwhile, I'm wearing, you know, an untucked shirt and jeans.
Yeah. Tax.
You know, like, what? And of course, they laughed like it was the funniest thing they ever heard. But I just think, is that a white guy job, IRS?
I guess. Yeah.
So, I mean, by the way, that's not
a
me
stuffy
being.
Job.
Yeah, that's them. They made that stereotype, not me. But I'm not that good enough at math to be accused of being that. But I guess if I walked in, yeah, they'd say Donald Trump.
I guess it's that it's a square job, kind of a, you know, non-sexy, hey, I'm a white guy, kind of a job, I guess. But yeah, so Donald Trump, that's what I was recalled. So
I think I told this story before, but one time I was at Jillian's. Jillian's was what is now Dave and Buster's in the Arundel Mills Mall. And I know I told the story on the air, but it's probably 4 years ago. And I was walking in and Jahidi White was there. Now, for those of you who don't know who Jahidi White is, he's about a 6'11", 300-pound basketball player. Black, bald head, very intimidating. And
played at Georgetown and then played for the Wizards, correct?
Correct. That's exactly right. And I saw him and I said, "Hey, man, how you doing?" and I introduced myself, or not, you know, I said, hey, how you doing? Put my hand out. He goes, he looks at me, he goes, hey, nice haircut. He was fucking with me. He was literally shit on me because I know he doesn't think I had a nice haircut. There's no way that that was the, so I, you know, now I don't like the guy.
Well, now I like the guy.
Yeah, I don't know that I have a bad haircut, but yeah, but I mean, I'm a fan, by the way. Like, I'm coming up saying, wow, hey, I'm a fan of what you do. And he's like, oh, really? I think you look like a fucking asshole. That's basically what's his response to me.
Robbie, try to get Jihadi White on the show.
Okay.
Because I think that makes me like him better. Because, I mean, what are you going to do?
What if he ends up, he really loved my haircut?
What if he owns like a barbershop, a salon now? Jihadi's beauty parlor. Well, welcome back. We've been gone for 2 weeks now. It's good to be back. I was overseas. We'll get to all that. Do you guys know any Atlanta Falcons fans?
Huh, that's a good question. Robbie should. He used to live there, but I don't think I know one Atlanta Falcon fan.
I don't think I do either.
I mean, I know Chris Restivo is a Minnesota Viking fan, but...
Because I do think that that is the worst loss I've ever seen a team take.
Mm. Meaning, given the amount of points they were ahead and given the stage, that's the worst loss ever.
And given that they don't have any wins to fall back on. I mean, the Patriots have had some tough losses, but, you know, they fall back on all their wins and all the other Boston teams' victories, so it doesn't sting as much. But if you're Atlanta, I mean, they've had one championship in the four major sports, their history.
That's pretty bad. And that was the Braves, right? Against the, I think they beat the A's. Am I right about that?
Well, it was the Indians, but I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. It is. Sorry, I apologize. You're right. You're absolutely right. But, yeah, that's an awful, awful loss. But, I mean, is their fan base so big that, you know, it's not going to, like, resonate, is that the right word, through the sports community? I think, you know, people are going to – I think it's more championing what the Patriots are than really shitting on the Falcons, right?
Well, I mean, it's both. I mean, I do find it – I don't know if curious is the word, but I understand, you know, when a team wins a lot, you tend to hate that team and you get fatigue. But I do kind of feel like the Patriots hate, it's somewhat irrational, I think. And that I get that we're in the Ravens territory, and that's a rival, and they've had some major playoff battles. But the Ravens have done pretty well in those, so it's not like they have anything to be ashamed there.
I saw a guy proudly wearing his Falcons hat today in Walmart.
Well hold on, Rob. They're such an easy team to hate. They have been caught and penalized. Now, by the way, forget whatever argument you're going to make for how valid you believe this to be, but they have been caught twice for cheating and penalized twice for cheating on major scales, right? I mean, they had the they had to forfeit a draft pick because they were, what were they doing, videotaping somebody else's practice or whatever it was they were.
Right.
They did that. And then I do think the deflating the ball is horseshit, but they were caught cheating. And they were penalized as a result of it. Now,
okay, but if you think it's horseshit, then they weren't caught cheating.
Well, right, but that's just one. The other one, there really is no mistake.
Okay, that was 10 years ago.
Oh. Okay, it's the same guys, though. So, I mean...
Okay, but, I mean, they've proven that that obviously doesn't matter. I mean, it wasn't like they needed that to win. Look, all I'm saying is, I know that they have these ties to Trump, but if you're talking about who's Trump in this scenario, it's Goodell. Goodell's the one with the penalized Brady... Goodell's the one that has too much power, that doesn't really know what he's doing, that's making up as he's going along, and that is penalizing Brady because once it was proven that it was bullshit, he had to save face. So
do people love Goodell? You can't hate both.
Well, no, but I'm saying if you're getting screwed by the Trump archetype here and people hate Trump, then you should in reality be on the side of Brady in that because he got trumped. Brady's the sixth-round pick. Brady's the underdog. Belichick is the understated coach. They're the opposite of Trump.
Yeah, Brady certainly got his, you know, comeuppance. Or, I'm sorry, Goodell did when they still won the Super Bowl. So really, the you know what the penalty meant? Nothing. They just had a rested quarterback for the Super Bowl.
No, so, I agree. But it's like if you're saying who's closest to Trump in this scenario between Brady, Belichick, and Goodell, it's Goodell by a million miles.
Okay, yes, if that's who we're is if it's either or, then yes, Goodell is easily the villain here. But it's easy to hate the Patriots on a bunch of different levels. First of all, I don't like their success. I mean, you know, I guess that's what, you know, when people say you're a hater, I guess that's really the definition, right? I don't like them because they're successful. But it's the truth. If you're not my team and you have great success, it's not that I don't necessarily like you, which I don't. But I don't like that now all of a sudden a bunch of people rally around you. Those are the people that I can't stand, right? So there's a lot of that going on in the world of the New England Patriots. In addition to that, the idea that they are, and by the way, could they win without cheating? Yeah, probably, but they do cheat. They take every opportunity to try to skirt the rules, and that bothers me too. And then you have, you know, again, Brady, and he's just a douche who's winning, and you know, he's winning at everything. You know what I'm saying?
But is but why is he a douche? Just because he's winning?
I see Gisele Bündchen getting so excited. I'm like, God, could her life get any better? It just did. Here's a supermodel that's worth $500 million. Her life just got better.
Don't get me wrong. I was rooting for Atlanta. And I was, you know, I'm not going to say I was devastated because I'm not a Falcons fan. But I was really upset for them. I mean, I wanted them to win.
If you recall, we all picked the Falcons.
Do you know that Tom Brady is a vegan? I mean, seriously. I mean, this guy, he's just the worst on every level.
He's trying to play as long as possible. I want my athletes to take care of their bodies. But look, no, the thing is about we all picked the Falcons. We were right. They were the better team. So they didn't win, but we were vindicated in the sense that if you watch the game, clearly they should have won. We picked the right team. They just decided to not run the ball. It's weird how history changes things. If the Seahawks run the ball with Marshawn Lynch and the Falcons run the ball with 3 minutes to go, the Patriots have lost four straight Super Bowls. That's a fact.
And no, yet you're right about that.
So now they've won, you know, 5 of 7. It's interesting. A little play here and there completely changes how we perceive and
look. It is interesting how these coaches, they just throw up on their shoes whenever Belichick walks in the room, because obviously Atlanta could have just run the ball and won the game. Yeah. And then Pete Carroll could have done the same thing. But for some reason, they're like, and they just choke.
They
Yeah, we have to do something that they're not expecting us to do. Well, yeah, we expect you to win. And instead, they throw the game away, you know. Now, I will – one more thing, and then we'll stop talking about it. People are going crazy about Julian Edelman's catch, which was a great catch.
Yeah.
But one thing that I want to not take – that can't be taken away is that it was on first down.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he caught it, but it was an incomplete pass. Brady probably would have thrown another 10-yarder the next pass. At least – I think David Tyree's wasn't like a – 3rd and 19 or something like that when he converted. It was something crazy.
I can't remember, but that's another situation. If they don't get that, the Patriots, you can hate them, but if they're in the Super Bowl, it's going to be a good game. I mean, I'd rather see the Patriots in a good game than another Seattle, Denver, or even last year wasn't that good.
I think Edelman's catch, there was a little bit of luck involved in that. Julio Jones made the really impressive catch during the game.
No. Edelman made a pretty impressive catch, too. He had to dive into three people and fight them for the ball. It's a pretty, pretty impressive catch.
Yeah, but it was almost – it seemed more fluky where Jones – I mean, Matt Ryan threw it to him when he was covered. I mean, you never should have thrown that, and he just basically – I mean, it was amazing.
Trusted him to go get it, yeah.
Yeah.
Just anyway, remember that going back to the cheating, our network expert, Nikki, called it that the Patriots have a coin toss scout. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Well, they won the big coin toss, so maybe that guy's on the
They did.
Did you?
Right?
Yeah, the overtime one. And once they won that, you knew that the game was over. Falcons had they couldn't stop them. Their defense was just dead. Lady Gaga, I thought she did a good job, fellas.
Yeah, but I think that she pretended to jump off the roof. I didn't like that.
Yeah, I mean,
either you jump off the roof or you don't. Although I will give you some credit. Her leap looked kind of legit. You know, she didn't like just kind of drop. She literally leapt off of the building. Now, granted, that was filmed ahead of time, but I was still impressed with her dexterity.
So the problem is that she was attached to a string. Is that your point?
No. She had to be attached to a string, Marcus, or she would have died. Okay?
That's his point, Marcus. He wanted her to learn how to fly.
Well, it seems like a very strange comment to make that it was kind of a fake jump. I mean, what do you think she's going to do?
It was pre-filmed, Marcus. She didn't really jump off. She was just lowered on the cables. Do you really not understand that? You really thought I was upset that she didn't try to kill herself?
Well, I was just, I thought it was a silly comment. That's why I was questioning it. So,
real quick, and I'm going to give it an aside. I'm not trying to make fun of suicide, but I did talk to my ex-landlord, Dave, who I love, and he said what I thought was such a profound comment. He had a friend who actually ended his life. And I asked him what happened, and he said, well, he had enough. That was his explanation of why his friend killed himself.
You you told me that yesterday, and that reminded me of a friend of Todd Moore's and I. I'll leave his name out of it, but he described a situation with a woman in a bar. I want to say she was a prostitute, but he was debating whether to, you know, to pay her. And he said instinct took over was his term for how he said he ended up having sex with her. So I kind of like that. Just instinct took over.
His instinct took over. What's he gonna do? He reached in his wallet. He pulled out 100. She said it wasn't enough. He got another 50.
Yeah, it's your instinct.
What was that guy's name?
I will not say his name. He might be married still to this day to that same woman. Anyway,
isn't that always the reason that somebody kills themselves, though? Because they had enough? I mean, that's always the case, right?
Yeah.
I always thought if I was going to kill myself that I would chop my head off.
What? How would you do that?
That's a guillotine, I guess. That's obviously the best way to go, right?
What do you mean I get? Where do you get a guillotine?
Well, I don't know, but if I have every choice, well, you know, that's what I would choose to do.
Okay, you're suggesting that that would be painless because it would be so quick.
If I had had enough, yes.
Okay, but you have to go build, you know, Tommy Zambazo build you a guillotine?
If I have Tommy Zambazo, I can do anything.
You're kind of surprised that Joe would do it with that much drama.
If there was a place that's what they did. They did suicides. It was legal. You could just go in and say, this is how I want to go. You know, like in Pulp Fiction, where Bruce Willis is looking at all the weapons to choose to go back down.
Yes, love that scene.
Yes, it's a great scene. You would look around and you'd see the guillotine. You go, give me that.
Well, you think about it this way. Like if you know, put the gun in your mouth, like the guy from Shawshank Redemption at the end.
Yeah.
And you blow your own head off. Those guys live a lot of times. And then you don't have a mouth. I mean, you know, that I can't risk that. You clearly can't drown. That's agonizing. Set yourself on fire. That's horrible. Now, lethal injection, I guess that would be okay. But the problem is that your organs shut down. Am I right about that? And, you know, yes, you might be under the influence or not be able to. But who knows what type of agony you're in, even though you're in this other altered state. If your head just falls off, you're done. It's seconds. I mean, you might be in pain for a millisecond and then it's all over with.
What if it catches and it only just barely grazes you, but you're in pain. Now you're just bleeding.
Yeah.
So that would be pretty bad.
Yeah.
But you know, the idea of a guillotine is your head is you can't miss. It falls straight down on you.
Now, would you be the one that's like pressing the button that releases it, or would you have somebody do that for you?
Well, I would, if it was possible that I was the one, I think it's a lever, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think But I would clearly want to be the person doing it, if that's what I was, so nobody would have to, you know. By the way, I think it's illegal to help somebody chop their head off if they just feel bad. I know if you're Dr. Kevorkian and they have some sort of terminal illness, there's a morality to it that you have to decide. But if I just have had enough, like Dave's friend, then, you know, if somebody helps you kill yourself, they're going to be in big trouble.
Would you want any music playing?
Yeah, probably. What song would I want to go out on? Let me think about that.
Would you want a meal beforehand just to enjoy a nice last meal?
I would. Steak from the Capitol Grill. And then the song I'd want playing. There's a lot of songs I love, but I think I would go with appropriately Breakdown by Tom Petty. That's what I would go with.
Yeah.
How about the Go-Go's The Whole World's Lost Its Head?
Yeah, there's got Head Over Heels is also another Go-Go song.
How about a Talking Heads song?
Yep. Or maybe just have Max Headroom playing in the background.
So you would go guillotine. Now, isn't there some sort of pills, some sort of cocktail? Because I would like to have a drink, mix it with some pills, and just sort of go off in this euphoric state and then just die.
You guys are missing the best, easiest way. It's when you run the hose from the tailpipe to your window and close, shut up all the windows.
Yeah. And you just fall asleep.
You just kind of drift off and you're done. Carbon monoxide, baby.
That is a quality with it.
The pills are a concern because people survive those all the time. Yep. All the time. And then they're violently ill.
Yeah, they don't want that. You definitely don't want to drown. That seems like the worst.
No, or burning to death. You don't want that.
Oh, burning to death. Yeah, that's horrific. Yeah. What if you go in there and you can have two choices? You can have the guillotine, or you can do the burnt to death. But if you do that, everyone, you can give $5 million whoever you want to give it to.
Like the guillotine. I mean, I don't care who gets $5 million after I'm gone.
What's your kids, right? I mean,
my kids are earners. They're going to be fine.
All right. Fuck you then. All right.
Get it's like giving out. You $5 million.
But why not?
You're way down the list, Rob. You're on it, but you're down there.
All right. What if it was being hung? That seems not as bad as the.
Well, that's what this guy, the guy who had enough, that's what made me think about it, because the guy who had enough hung himself. And I was like, that's got to be awful. That's got to be a horrible way to go, because there's going to be a struggle for a little while until you asphyxiate yourself, right?
Yeah. I don't trust my rope knot tying ability.
It depends on what else you're doing.
What do you mean?
There you go, Marcus.
Like the kung fu guy. What's his name?
David Carradine.
David
right?
Carradine, right. If you're going out that way, then you're going out with a smile on your face.
By the way, Marcus, I had a female listener of the bonus show comment on how disgusted she was listening to your sex life. Just want you to know that.
I enjoyed it. That was my favorite part.
It was? Wow.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, Robbie, did you have a critique for us?
Yeah, really. Everything Marcus contributed to that show was stellar.
Wow.
There you go. I should have my own show.
Yeah, Marcus did. He did peel back the curtain. I don't want to reveal too much because people have to subscribe. But I did. You're right about that, where Marcus told some things that you're never going to be able to hear anywhere else unless you have a private conversation with him or if you pay for the bonus show. Yeah.
Yeah, and Marcus filled my ear with a lot of stuff before you guys got on with us. He's got more material for the bonus show.
Oh, boy. All right.
Oh, cool.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about my trip overseas. Rob and Joshua, be right back.
Hey, it's Justin from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show. You may remember me from my critically acclaimed role as Bucky in Death of a Dentist. Well, my next star turn will be in a show called The Newly Dead Game, another original, hilarious, interactive comedy whodunit from the minds of Rob and Joe. Imagine, you're in a TV studio at a taping of the very popular game show Clash of Couples. I'll have a starring role, and if you're very, very lucky, you might play a part too. You might even be the murderer. It's going to be incredible, and there's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, February 14th at McGoobie's Joke House in Timonium, Maryland. For more information, go to DieLaughingProductions.com. Tickets are available right now.
Hello.
Alexa, who is Joe Robinson?
Born December 2nd, 1968. Joe Robinson is an American comedian and radio host on WIYY 98 Rock in Baltimore and is the co-host of the Rob and Joe Show podcast.
Alexa, who is Rob Mayer?
Sorry, I can't find the answer to the question I heard.
Alexa, who is Rob Mayer?
Born October 16th, 1977, John Clayton Mayer is an American singer-songwriter, guitarist, and music producer. He was born in Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Alexa, who is Rob Mayer?
Do you mean to ask, who is Joe Robinson?
Alexa, what does the internet say about Dan Ninen?
Dan Ninen is the worst human being ever. He is 55 years old, but claims to be a millennial. He also claims to be a comedian. Dan Ninen was once arrested for punching a journalist in the face over tweets.
Alexa, tell us something funny.
Who do you think I am, Joe Robinson?
Bravo, well done. Well done.
Thank you. Wow. Usually I'm the butt of those. I appreciate that.
Why didn't you ask who's Rob Robinson?
I'll do that next time.
Who's Gramps?
It goes on for 25 minutes.
Exactly. You name some hot chick. This is a woman that Gramps hits on.
So that makes me feel bad. Before you start, I just want to say something that Robbie did. I wanted him to do sound on one of the murder mysteries. And I gave him, it was 13 days notice. And I said, hey, can you do this? And he goes, oh, I can't. Maybe if you gave me more notice. Definitely took a shot. He definitely got a shot in at me before I just didn't say a word. I just let it go. But he couldn't just say no. He already had plans. He had to take a shot. So he's off the hook for complimenting me in that piece of audio.
Didn't you say that I reminded you of Robbie the other night, Joe?
Yeah. So you were sick. But I walked into the show and I said, hey, Rob, so-and-so has some gives people he wants to put on a list. Now, granted, I know nothing about this show. True. I don't know. I have no idea who's taking the tickets, where the list is, if there's a list already done, who I would need to talk to. All he has to say is, oh, okay, yeah, I'll take care of that. But then he goes, well, what do you mean? I can't remember what you said, but it was just so shitty. Now that I, let me see if I can remember exactly what it was. You go, we're the list.
Yeah, I said, we're the guy. Yeah.
No, it was shittier. And now I'm choking now that we're on the air because I can't remember exactly what you said, but it was so shitty. And I was like, well, how the fuck was I supposed to know that? You got mad at me because I said there were people on the list. Meanwhile, I had no idea what protocol was. But yeah, and that reminded me a little bit of Robbie.
I was just short with you. I was freezing cold. I didn't feel well. I didn't want to be there. Now, granted, it turned out we had a really fun show at the Beer Baron. Jeff Hancock showed up, took a lot of great pictures. Thank you, Jeff.
Hey, can I defend myself, Rob?
Of course.
I understand why it probably came off as passive aggressive in an email, and I really thought about how I was going to word that. But I wasn't being passive aggressive in this instance. I really wanted you guys to know that I'm so busy right now. I really am planning ahead. And if you want me to do the sound, let me know when you book it or let me know as quickly as possible.
I knew what you meant when you said it.
Right.
No, I got that from it. You didn't.
But I wasn't being passive aggressive at all. I was really trying to communicate something to you.
Okay. But Robbie, we know that we should have asked you earlier, but once we haven't done that, now we need to ask.
Okay. And so, you can just say, no, you can't do it.
Yeah, we know that we should ask earlier. That's whoever. We should have that, be more on top of that. You don't need to let us know that we need to be more on top of that. Despite the fact that we're not on top of it, doesn't mean we don't realize we should be.
Message received.
All right. I'm sick. I got back from overseas. I didn't get sick over there. I don't even really feel bad the first day back. But I don't know if it's something I caught over there or something that just from no sleep that my immune system was beat down. And that when I got back here, just something happened to me. But I feel horrible. But cold, flu, the whole deal. Sleeping a lot, very weak. But it was a good trip. As I cough right on cue. It was a very long trip. Longer than the 8 days that it was. It felt longer. But we went to four different bases. Two in South Korea and one in Abu Dhabi and one in Jordan. A flight path that makes no sense. It's not... The booking made no sense in terms of geographically. Why were we going the other side of the world? But whatever. But I mentioned my passport issue. I need to get a brand new passport, which I was able to do the day before I left. But the new passport caused me some issues on the trip because I guess it's 2017 and maybe there's a new way that they put a number on it or a new something on the passport that the computers at the airports and at the bases are not updated yet to register. It wasn't reading my passport, basically, everywhere I went, which caused me to have to go on longer lines and just was a debacle. Specifically in Osan, this was a prize stop on our trip. It was Osan. It's in South Korea. It's a nice base. You're in a nice hotel on the base. There's all these bars and shops and things right out of the gate. You can walk in and out, hang out, do shopping. day after the show. We're supposed to be there for the entire day. Don't leave until late that night. So it was sort of our only day off. And we were kind of looking forward to that to be our day. Midway through the trip, catch our breath, have a nice relaxing day. So we get there, and you go to this one part of the base where they get, take your passport, they take your picture, and they give you a little ID card. Well, my passport, it wasn't reading it. So they decided just to give us write a letter that they would put at each gate that would allow us to go in and out. So we do the show and we try to leave the base, and the letter they have at the gate is the old letter, and they're not letting us leave. And I'm like, well, this sucks. We want to go out and hang out. So I'm trying to explain to the guy, the letter you have is not the new letter. That literally, that's my old passport number on that. It's not accurate. So finally we get someone to chaperone us off the base, thinking he could get us back on. But when we go to get back on, they're like, no, you need a chaperone on the base. So now for like a half hour, we're like, are we going to have to sit here in the gate and sleep on this bench? Is that something's going to happen?
So wait a minute, the other guy who was with you, he could have gone in.
He doesn't live on the base. So he lives off base. He's not military. He's a contractor, basically. So
yeah, but he didn't have this issue that you had, though, right? He didn't have the passport issue. He could have just gone back on, right?
Yeah, but I don't think he's authorized because he doesn't live on the base to chaperone us while we're on the base.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Right. So I'm like trying to explain to the guy, look, the person who signed this letter, there's two gates. The gate we came in on is different than this gate. I said, I literally watched the guy write this new letter, signed off by the boss. We went to the other gate. He handed it to that guy. I saw it with my own eyes. So whoever that guy is, I don't know his name, but whoever's on the shift today, he knows where that letter is. Can you call him? Like, well, we're not allowed to interrupt his sleep schedule. I'm like, well, you're going to interrupt our sleep schedule. I mean, so this was, I was like, is this really happening? We're not going to be able to get it on and off the base. So finally they said, all right, we'll let you go back on. But it was just a pain in the ass.
Was it the same people that let you out?
Yeah, the same people. And
what dicks? And they saw you leave, and now they won't let you back on the base?
Right. Now, they're just following protocol, but it's like, do you really think, what do we think we're doing? We just told jokes. What do you think we're trying to bomb the place? I don't know. You know, whatever. So then we were hoping it would get taken care of the next day, so then we could go off base and shop and do things. But nobody called and said us anything, so now we're stuck there. Then, because it was like the Korean holiday, New Year's, we couldn't apparently get a bus to the airport later. We had to leave at like 3 p.m. where our flight leaves at midnight. So now we have to 7 hours at the airport. It's just like, Jesus. So this whole day that was supposed to be our good fun day turned into like just sitting at the airport all day, bored as shit.
Did you get drunk?
You know, not really. I mean, I did. I mean, I drank at the bases, those two, not the other ones. You couldn't really
drink. No, I'm talking about during your 7 hours at the airport. That seemed like the only thing for you to do.
I didn't. I mean, I had a little bit, but we did get lucky because the flight to Abu Dhabi, we had our own row because it wasn't packed. So I was able to sleep on that plane. But the last few days were were ridiculous. We fly all night to Abu Dhabi. We get there at like 5 a.m. And it's 10 hours. There's a time change, so just trust the math on this. So then we get to the base. It's like an hour drive there. Sleep like an hour. Up all day. End up watching the Federer-Nadal match, which was amazing, but whatever. Then do the show. Get another hour sleep. Drive to the airport. Fly to Jordan for 3 hours. Get there. They show us around. Time we get back to the base, I get another hour sleep. Do the show, wake up at 7:30, get like 3 hours sleep, hang out for a few hours there, and then take a 36-hour trip home. A flight to Dubai, a bus ride to Abu Dhabi, and a flight to Dulles, get stuck in traffic, rush hour traffic, get there at 5 p.m., two-hour drive home.
How so close are you to saying it ain't worth it? How close?
Well, I'm a little upset because I still haven't gotten paid yet. So that's frustrating to me. Even though the check was supposed to be mailed out, there was some discrepancy with the, because when we got to Jordan, we had to buy a visa, which we're going to be reimbursed for. So the promoter's like, just Go to the you got to go to the currency exchange, get however much it costs for a Visa and their money, and then buy it, and then send me a copy of the Visa picture, because that's the receipt, and then you'll get reimbursed. So I'm like, say to the other guy, Dante, I'm like, well, why don't we just, you know, in Abu Dhabi, why don't we just get the currency here? Why don't we, instead of waiting till we get off the plane in Jordan and get, there might be a line, we got time to kill. Let's just, or I guess we are in Korea at that point. No, we are in Abu Dhabi. Never mind. So in Abu Dhabi, let's just go to the currency thing here and get $40 in Jordanian money. So I try to look on my phone, and it looks like it's going to cost like $58 or something. So I go to the thing, and the guy says $64. All right, whatever. I don't know what it is. So, okay. So I give him $64. We each get that. He gives us $40 in Jordanian money. We fly to Jordan. We get off the plane. We walk right to the Visa thing, give him the $40, 40 Jordanian money, get the Visa, boom. So then I email promoter the Visa, picture of the Visa and the receipt from the currency exchange to show that I gave 64 U American money and got 40 Jordanian. And he calls me today and he's like, yeah, they're saying it should only been 50 or whatever. I was like, who gives a fuck? It's like $10. What do you think? I'm trying to cheat them out of $10. It's like, well, you should have gone to the currency exchange in Jordan. Well, how the fuck do I know? I mean, what? I thought I'm being proactive doing it here because we got time to kill. Let's just do it now. I mean, are we really arguing over $6, $7? Like, is this happening? And so, well, now we hadn't sent the check yet because we're waiting on that. I was like, you can send two checks. You know that, right? You can send the check for the real money and then send another check for this receipt. But so it's just, well, I'm going to have to tell them. I was like, I don't care. Just only pay me 50 then. I don't give a shit. Just give me the money. So
what are the chances that you get beat out of this money?
I won't.
Not zero. Not zero.
No, I might get beat out of $10-$15. But like, look, he said exchange of money. Where would you go? I would go to, you have time to kill, let's do it now. That makes more sense, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't know where to go. I'd probably ask somebody. And whatever I'd go to.
Well, I know where to do it at, but it's whether we do it in Abu Dhabi or do it when we get to Jordan. My thinking is, what if everyone's buying a Visa when you get to Jordan? There might be a line at the currency exchange. That's probably everyone has to buy one to get into the country that's not a resident. So why do it there? We do it here where there's no line. That was my thinking. Didn't know that we would be gouged out of $7, meaningless dollars, by the way.
Well, just like Rob Mayer, War Hero, said in chat, I say the same thing. Thank you for your service.
Thank you. Other than that, though, by the way, I'm just trying to book my own things. I've got some contacts, and I'm trying to make that happen and do this myself. Actually trying to bring the murder mystery there to Jordan. It's but we had a good shows. They were really fun shows. Yeah, Robbie, I'm going to bring the murder mystery to Jordan.
We made it to Albany. I don't see why we can't make it to Jordan.
I've got Justin, Tommy, and Eric on board.
What do you mean? I'm on board. I'll go to Jordan.
I don't need you. Do you want to go to Jordan? I don't think you would do that. I don't think you have it in you.
You're probably right.
Yeah, I don't think you can handle it.
When you were in South Korea, you didn't participate in any of the Lunar New Year celebration?
No, I didn't.
It's big in my house.
Yeah, I know. You know all about the Lunar New Year. Yeah, we had
You know what the year is, Joe, this year is? The year of the...
Monkey?
No, that was last year.
Sorry, I don't know them. Is it on the menu?
Yes, of course.
The cock.
You're right. It is the year of the cock.
Thanks.
But other than that, the shows itself were as good as a run as I've had. It was just me and another guy. We alternated going first and second. Most of the bases, the setup was good for comedy. So there, sometimes you run into that, but that wasn't really an issue on these. So they were really, we met some cool people. It was a good time, other than the obvious travel stress. But I'm glad to be back. I don't have it in me to do it that often. I'll grant you that.
Well, thank you again for your service. And I know we're coming up on a break, but on the other side of the break, can we discuss Eric Woodworth and his behavior?
I can't wait. Rob and Josh will be right back.
Hello, my name is Rob Robinson, but you all know me as Gramps. If it weren't for me, there would be no Rob and Joe Show. If it weren't for my DNA, you'd be listening to the Rob and Ramin Show. Or worse, if I decided to stop at one offspring, you'd probably be listening to the Dan Ninen Show. So I'm speaking to you as someone who has provided you with top-notch entertainment for over half a decade. Become a Rob and Joe Show patron on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show. Do it now so you don't miss out on the premium content and some other great stuff. I did it. So should you. Now, back to the Rob and Joe Show.
I am a firm believer that men should carry purses. You guys just got to get over it. I don't care what you call it. So your masculinity is an but if I have to spend another 5 minutes looking for my husband's wallet and keys, I'm going to blow my brains out.
The hell was that?
I'm sure that was The View, and I guess that's how Robbie...
That was an advocate for men wearing purses.
Where was that advocate? Where was that sound clip from? What show?
The People's Court.
Well, case made, I guess. Case closed, right?
I don't even know what you're referencing.
Robbie carries a purse. You didn't know that?
Oh, we talked about that, didn't we? Yeah.
Two people that I know carry purses. One is Robbie, and it's not... It doesn't even... try to pretend to be something else. It's a purse. And, but Tommy carries, you know, that thing with Cthulhu on it that he made, and it's right. studded, and, you know, it's all steampunk or whatever, and it's purple with metal on it. For some reason, that seems, I wouldn't necessarily say cool, but it just seems a little more palatable to see Tommy carrying yes. around this thing that he made that literally looks almost like a some sort of briefcase satchel. And it's clearly not for a girl based on what's on it.
Right.
But Robbie's just looks like a Kate Spade. It just looks like
it doesn't look like Kate Spade.
It looks like The Devil Wears Prada. That's what it looks like.
That's the only People's Court episode that they play on the Logo Network.
Marcus Sir, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
What did Eric Woodworth do this time, Joe?
Well, you know that, of course, we did a murder mystery at the Beer Baron, and it was a great show. I don't know if anybody that was at that show is listening, but it was a very sparse audience. And I worry about our brand, if I'm pulling back the curtain, when we do an audience that small, because this show is really hitting its stride, and we should really be playing venues like we play, the DC Improv, selling it out, letting hundreds and hundreds of people enjoy it. And we do a show like this, I always have concerns, but it ended up being just a really, really great show. And the 40 or so people that were there had a great time. I guarantee you they'll be talking about it.
Yes.
You know, a year from now when it's this girl's birthday who showed up with basically the audience. But Eric Woodworth does something in basically each and every show that makes the whole audience jaw drop. And in this show, he's doing that part. But what he does that he has never done before was he sets off a confetti cannon. Now, I'm like, Eric, why would you set off a confetti cannon in front of the smallest audience that we've ever played to, right? Like, why would you waste such a big moment? Now, Rob knows the answer to this question. Robbie, why did he set off that confetti cannon at that particular show? Do you have any guess?
No, I have no idea.
Marcus, a guess?
I have no clue.
Because he found it backstage at that show. That's why. He found a confetti cannon. He comes up, and for those of you who have seen the show, it's the wrecking ball moment when he's singing Wrecking Ball. And he goes to shoot this cannon off. Now, here's what he said, which is hilarious. He wasn't sure when he was setting it off which direction it was going to go. So he was either going to go into his balls... or it was going to spray confetti. Now, those confetti cannons, I mean, they put out a lot of confetti. Whatever's inside of them is, what is it, compressed in there somewhere? And it basically shoots it all. But it was done for, you know, four tables. And he shot confetti all over this club.
It got some distance, too.
I'm sure those people were furious with us. Now, here's the thing. So what I want to do is get out of there. Because... again, we had a great show. The audience was sparse, though, so I wanted to be done with that, right? I wanted to go, and I also was a little bit afraid of how the club felt about us shooting confetti all over their floor. I thought that they might be pissed about that.
Confetti that really, we stole from them, basically.
Yes, it was their confetti, which I'm sure that they didn't want that to happen. But of course, when we get back to the place, Tommy Cimbazzo could not find his keys.
Uh-oh.
And we have to call back to the club to see if his keys are there. We call back and we get a guy. We say, hey, we believe some keys might have been left there. And he's like, well, it's kind of a mess here. I don't know if we'll be able to find it today. No lie. He goes, you're going to have to call tomorrow. Those guys were pissed. Luckily, the keys were in Katie's back seat, so we never had to go back. But I guarantee you, they would have said, hey, do you guys mind not shooting off our confetti cannon the next time you're here?
Yeah, wait a second. You do have to go back. You got another show scheduled there.
I got another gig, so we're going to move that. Well, the way that this gig works is that we took sales ourselves. So I set up a website that takes ticket sales. And then at the door, then I have to give them a percentage of that. So at the end of the night, I actually owed them $54. And I gave them $60. I said, go ahead. That's for the cleanup. So I don't know if the guy had realized what was out there yet when I said that. But I'm guessing that $6 didn't really go a long way in easing that cleanup pain. Maybe
that was more than an hour's worth of work at minimum wage. So, yeah, I'm sure he doesn't feel that way. By the way, I feel mad you gave them extra money, but whatever, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was only because I just didn't want to wait for change. I was ready to leave, too.
So right. Now, that was smart.
Yeah.
But can I also tell you, so that was a great moment from Eric Woodworth. But do you know that on Eric Woodworth's podcast, I can't remember what it's called, but it stars him and his brother, Jeremy, who we've discussed on the show before. His brother is the one who dressed up like a clown and handed me a DVD of his comedy that said child pornography on it, and he handed it to me, Jeremy Woodworth.
And rape!
There he is. No, that's Eric. But anyway, on their show, do you know who they interviewed last week on their show?
Well, I know. Why don't you have Robbie guess?
Robbie, would you like to guess who they interviewed?
Tommy Cimbazzo.
No. Marcus?
Patton Oswalt.
Someone connected to this show.
Yes.
You, Joe?
No, not me.
Dan Ninen.
No. But that level of funniness.
Of Scott infamy.
Apple. Scott Apple.
No, but having Scott Apple on is the equivalent of plagiarism that was executed when they used this guest.
Chamberlain.
Close.
Chris Restivo.
Chris Restivo.
Yes.
Jesus.
They literally took a Robin Joe show bit and just started doing it. Now,
well, I think Eric's history with Restivo is longer than ours.
No. Listen, we interviewed Chris Restivo. You know where I lived when we had our Chris Restivo interview?
No.
I lived in Odenton.
That long ago.
That was three places ago. That's when we interviewed Chris Restivo.
Quality Time is the name of the podcast with Eric and Jeremy Woodworth.
Chris Restivo is a Robin Joe show guest. Now, we're never having him back on, but that's still our bit. Just because we refuse to ever have him on the show again doesn't mean that they can just scoop him up.
Well, we're not refusing. He did send me half of a stock tip, but then it got cut off, and he said, I'll send you the rest, and he never did.
Do you know what the stock tip was? Can you remember what it was?
No, but this was the funny part. He just was giving reports on stocks. Like, well, this one opened to this, and it finished to that. What? You're just reading. You're not giving me a tip. It's like
we don't need a ticker.
Right. It's like my football picks. I just say what already happened. I don't say what I think should happen this week.
He's like, well, the New England Patriots won in overtime by 6 points. You should have bet them. They would have covered the spread.
That's awesome.
So he completely missed the point, of course. Maybe we'll try to get him to do that again.
But Eric and Jeremy, I'm just kidding. You're more than welcome. Chris is yours. He's your guest now.
Yeah, have at it. Yeah. I think they first I saw Eric had Facebook that he and Jeremy waterboarded Chris for the show. And I got really excited, but it turns out that was just a joke.
No, they didn't waterboard him.
No, that would have been hilarious. All right, what else we got? I feel like there's some other things here to talk about.
Yes. Opie Radio, formerly Opie and Anthony, right?
Yes.
Which was probably the second biggest comedy radio show in the heyday of those things, of course, behind Howard Stern. Would you agree, Robbie? Is there anybody?
They're in the short list. Very short.
Ron and Fez, and of course Don and Mike were huge too. But I think Opie and Anthony would have been the number two to Stern in terms of those types of shows. But Opie Radio, which is now, is that a podcast, Robbie, or is that on Sirius?
Opie Radio is on Sirius.
So this is a national radio show on Sirius, and they interviewed one Dan Ninen. Did you listen to it, Rob?
I did. Yeah, it was amazing.
So, you know, this guy, here's what's so telling, and there's no way we can play it. It's, how long is it, Robbie? It's 40 minutes long.
It is. It's not quite 40 minutes, but it's long. It's like a half an hour at least.
But you're going to put it up on the site, Robbie?
I will be putting it up on our site, our Facebook. People can check it out this week.
All right, cool.
Dan actually puts them on hold, and they hold for like 10 minutes. Am I right about that, Robbie? Is that the amount of time that they hold waiting for Dan to come back?
Yeah, I think he's gone for 8 minutes or so.
But
I've condensed the clip. It's 26 minutes long.
What's so amazing is not, I mean, obviously he's so exposed what he does, and you'll, when you listen, it's so funny, is he won't answer any questions that will indict him. He only answers questions that they never asked that nobody's challenging. He goes, they say I didn't work with Brad Garrett. Nobody ever said that. They said I didn't work with Robert Schimmel. Nobody ever said that. They said I didn't work with Russell Peters. Nobody ever said that. So he's basically saying, hey, well, let me finish what I'm discussing. But he's literally won't stop discussing things that nobody is contending. But you see right through it.
Right. Let's give an example, Joe. Let's say I'm Rob Mayer, and I've been accused of stealing a car, robbing a bank, and murdering someone. And
am I interviewing you? Okay.
Yes.
Now, Rob, what do you say to those people that say that you stole a car?
Well, first of all, I want to talk about the time that I stole that kid's bike. That was my bike. I was trying to get it back. So that the fact that I stole it, I couldn't steal something that belonged to me. That was my bike. I was just trying to get it back. And people
No, nobody is saying that you didn't steal the bike. We're asking specifically about the car.
Okay, but let me finish the bike story, okay? What happened was, and that goes on for like 10 minutes, 15
minutes. It goes on more than that.
Yeah. That's the whole interview.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Sometimes I wish I could coach Dan. He's so bad at this. Okay, I've already told him and have said it a million times on how he could have really made everybody else look bad in this Forbes thing. I basically saying, well, why do people care so much? I was just trying to be more marketable if it bothered people, you know, and make people feel dumb for really kind of witch hunting him, right? Meanwhile, it's not a witch hunt, it's true. But here's the other way. Ask me if I stole Russell Peters' website.
Joe, did you steal Russell Peters' website?
No. It's as simple as that. Just lie. Right. Just because lie. If he lies, they're not the police.
Right.
They're not even 60 minutes. They're just a comedy show. Just say you didn't do it. You know, if you're really trying to look innocent, then and you're going to not address it, you already look like a liar. You might as well lie. What do you think they're going to do? Investigative reporting after the fact? No, they're not. So if you're going to steal, you might as well lie too. Who steals and then won't lie afterwards? No, lie and steal. I'm pretty sure the term is lie, cheat, and steal. You know, I'll never lie, but I'll steal. No, lie.
Go all in. I mean, move all your chips into the table. Commit to this thing. Because by not answering, you're basically saying, yes, I did it.
Well, why would you lie about your age and not lie about Russell Peters' website? Just lie.
About a crime. Yeah.
If somebody said on Opie Radio that you didn't steal the website, well, yeah, I lied about that. Am I obligated to tell the truth to Opie? No, I'm not. I can say whatever the fuck I want to Opie. Now, in front of a judge and jury, I'm obligated to say something different. But I'm not allowed to lie to Opie. I'm not allowed to lie to him. No, I am. I'm allowed to lie.
Yeah, I mean, just come out lying, guns a-blazing. But he didn't. We'll post it. It is fascinating. God, he's so exposed. But all right, Dan, whatever.
Do we want to mention the Bachelor Fantasy League?
Oh, well, I couldn't friggin' play while I was over there. I forgot. And then Tawanda couldn't, for she screwed up, and she was your main rival, so she didn't play. So I haven't even watched last week's, but I'm assuming that you're continuing to dominate.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, I mean,
I was wondering why I pulled so far ahead last week.
Well, because you don't miss any, Robbie. I mean, you know what happened. You're cheating somehow again.
No, I'm not.
Robbie, are you, is this our, that's the national leaderboard. I got to go to our, I was like, God, you are so far. So you're Mall Walker. Let me take a look. Oh, no, I'm Mall Walker. I have 130 points. How many do you have? I just want to make sure people get some perspective.
400.
Hey, you have 400 points. By the way, can I tell you how many points the person who's number one in the nation has? In the nation.
How many?
470.
Yeah, and there's probably hundreds of thousands of people doing this.
That's right. And somehow we're supposed to believe that Robbie is not, he has no advantage other than just looking at these pictures and is savvy.
If I had an advantage, wouldn't I have a perfect score? Wouldn't I at least have 470?
No,
like
no, you'd have 400 is what you
right.
have.
Nobody cheats and gets a perfect score. God. You want to get a 91. You don't get 100.
Now ask a question like, what phrase are they going to use before they go on their getaway? Surf's up. Life's a beach. Blah, blah. Robbie always gets it right. I mean, how would you ever know something like that? There's just, it's really nothing but guessing, but somehow Robbie always manages to guess right. Hey, are they going to be in a hot tub this week? How the fuck should I know? I have no idea.
He never
gets it wrong. Hey,
I have just as much of the same possibility of getting it right.
What are they going to play? Tug of war, volleyball, blah, blah, blah. Somehow Robbie always knows.
But no, it's not that, Joe. Those are the one out of fours. It's like which girl gets the one-on-one date. There's 18 choices. He gets it right every fucking time.
Yes, he gets it right.
I mean, it's amazing. God, it's so frustrating. What happens is, Tawana and I will be watching it, and I'm like, babe, you got that right. And then I check Robbie's thinking, oh, you're going to gain on him. No, he got it right, too. It's like, fuck.
Of course, he got it right, and then he got right what's going to happen after that.
Exactly.
How do you guys watch it? It's so bad.
I've never watched an episode.
That's what we love about it. It's so bad.
I've never watched an episode.
Great.
Not one.
Well, how many girls do you guys have left? Do you know?
Well, I haven't watched three. Last week, so I don't know.
Two.
I have all four of my girls.
But Marcus, you also picked one girl that she's I'm out of her league. You picked her to win, right? Like, I wouldn't, like, if I were a single man, she would be too hideous for me. And Marcus is like, this is my girl. I pick her to win the whole thing.
Well, I changed that a couple of weeks ago because I was getting tips from Robbie. And so I changed it up, and now I'm down to two. So I think Robbie set me up to fail. Because Jamie, my ugly chick, is still in the damn game.
Good for her.
Yeah,
well,
she is.
He's trying to make sure that he has all types in there.
Well, honestly, that she's defying the odds, and so is that other weird-looking chick. I can't believe they're both still on the show.
So Katie has, just to give you some perspective, Katie has all four girls left and only has 60 points. I mean, it's ridiculous.
And like, she's the kind of girl that would be on that show.
Yes, and I'm destroying Katie. I have 130, and Robbie is 270 ahead of me. You understand? If you combine Katie and I, we combine our score, we're half of Robbie. Because Robbie knows Surf's Up is going to be used.
I actually watch the show, and he's twice as much as me. And I have, I've watched it as much as Robbie, so I should know the little tricks.
Yeah,
You
and Tawana should be better at this, I would think.
Yeah. Hey, can I ask a quick question to change subject just a little bit? Because I know we don't have much time. So, I got that Fire Stick. And, Robbie, you know how you steal movies from the Fire Stick that you don't want people to know about on the show?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, Tommy Simbazo also does the same thing.
Yes, I had that conversation with Tommy before.
And he showed me how to do it. Is this going to be forever? Do I never have to worry? I just see free movies for the rest of my life?
No, it'll probably go away at some point.
And
that thing that you're doing, that extra thing that he did for you, I think that's a little risky.
Well, I trust
the pairing thing. I think that's a little risky.
Well, I'm doing it. If Tommy says it's okay, then I'm confident that it is. But, I mean, what are they going to do? Because what's going to happen is if they come to me and knock on my door, the FBI –
No. I don't think something like that would happen.
But listen, if they do, I'm going to roll on you guys. I'll give up two people in order to get my immunity.
Well, what you'll end up doing is having to get Tommy to build you a guillotine so you can take your life and avoid jail time.
If I see him knocking on the door.
Yeah.
No, I just think that you risk having a company halt your service or something like that.
Did you guys watch 24?
I loved it, Rob.
I enjoyed it too. I watched it. There's another one tonight. I'm into it.
There's only one character left over from the old series.
Do they already show that person?
I don't know that they showed him because I didn't watch the very, very end. Tony Almeida is back.
Oh, nice. Okay, good. Right. You watching Homeland?
And I already know who's the guy who's the mole.
All right, well, now stop it. Okay, let's just shut up here. All right, the show's over. The show's over.
By the way, I am watching Homeland. I am watching Homeland, and it got me back a little bit. It had one more episode. I was going to break up with it.
No, I'm all in.
Yeah. No, but when Quinn finally broke bad, I'm like, all right, I can watch it.
The woman Saul was sleeping with a couple seasons ago, or maybe last season, she's on the new 24.
Yep.
Oh yeah, no, I saw her. That was the girl that ended up getting shoved in the trunk or whatever.
And you know who's had this late career revival is the Simon and Simon guy.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, he's married to like Delta Burke or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But he's in this. He was in House of Cards. He keeps popping up all these roles.
Gerald McCraney.
Yeah, good for him. Well, it's good to be back, guys. Thank you to all the wonderful people I met overseas. Kunsan, Osan, El Dafra. And the other thing, this is one last thing. I had no idea that this base in Jordan was like a secret place. I was wondering why I couldn't Google it. No one had told me that I wasn't supposed to talk about it. So I'm on the plane. There's a local next to me. There's, small talk. What are you doing here? I'm like, yeah, I'm here to go to this base and perform U.S. military base. He doesn't know what I'm talking about. I go on my phone. I show him the name of it. No clue what I'm talking about. I say, okay. So then I go to the customs. He goes like, what are you here for? I say, business. Going to this base. No clue what I'm talking about. Didn't think I was going to let me in. It was weird. And then we go. They pick us up. They're in civilian clothes, which is odd. And then we end up going to this mall, which is just like any mall in America, all the same stores. And we're at a food court, and there's another American woman there. And one of the women that was our chaperones mentions the base, talking about the food on the base being not that good. This woman hears that. She goes, oh, you guys in the military? I'm about to say they are, pointing to our chaperones. And our girl is like, nope. And she's like, well, I thought you said base. No, didn't say it. I was like, okay. He says, yeah, somebody asks you, we're doctors from Canada. So I'm like, I'm posting pictures. I had no idea. I'm like, here in Jordan, ready to.
Nobody's going to believe you're a doctor.
Right.
By the way, I was worried about you but all I heard, of course, it's because of the fear mongering of people like Marcus. But I thought no one was allowed back in the country. I thought Trump had just made it impossible for people to get back into the country. So I literally like, oh, shit, Rob is in a Muslim dominated. Is that a Muslim majority country? He might not even be able to get back in here.
Yeah. Don't get too much of a suntan, Rob. You won't get back in.
It was the easiest time ever to get back. I'm not lying. No, I don't. They switched up. I don't know if this has to do with it or that's just how they do it now. But normally you arrive back in the U.S. and then you go through the whole process. They did it all there. We went through all this process. When we landed in the U.S., it was done. We just went to baggage claim. Didn't have to do anything else.
Don't tell Marcus's wife that. She's not going to believe it.
No,
she's not going to think that happened.
And, guess how many times people mentioned Trump while I was over there?
Either a bazillion or zero.
Zero.
Wow. Yep.
Yeah. No one gave a shit. Or they're probably not allowed to. Or maybe a little bit of both. But it's good to be back, guys. We are back on schedule. A new show every week. We'll see you then. Later.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.